Welcome to the Sound Singer Podcast. My name's Alita, and I can't wait to share with you some conversations I've had with some incredible people in my industry. I'm joined by Jen Lindsay, who's a mindset coach who helps young adults learn how to love themselves and their lives, no matter what kind of ups and downs they're experiencing. And on her YouTube channel, she talks about a variety of mindset-related topics, including how to develop our self-love and acceptance even when life is hard, strategies for replacing negative thoughts, how to overcome insecurities, and many other topics. Jen, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Alita. Thanks for having me today.
How did you get started on this journey of mindset coaching?
Well, as you mentioned, I specialize in working with young adults, although in many cases, the work that I do is quite transferable to people of any age or stage of life. But when I was in my 20s, I struggled. I struggled a lot, and I struggled with clarifying who I was, what I wanted to do with my life. I struggled with my mental health as a result of that. And I just felt like I really didn't have any mentors or resources to turn to for support. And basically, I really could have used somebody like me now to help me navigate my way through everything that I was experiencing during that time of my life. Fast forward to 20 years later now, and prior to starting my current coaching business, I worked as a coach at a top university in Canada, where I had the opportunity to support thousands of young adults along the path to developing their mindsets and working toward their goals. But you know, something that I can tell you from that experience, having had hundreds of one-on-one conversations with students, is that even the brightest young minds in this country doubt themselves, and they struggle to love themselves and trust themselves. Now, we might see a very different image of the highlights in their social media feeds that shows different, but I can assure you that there isn't anyone in the world who's immune to at least some level of self-doubt, which is why it's essential that we develop our mindsets, which connects to how we look at the world and ourselves and everything we're experiencing.
Speaking of self-doubt, I work with a lot of performers, and when it comes to our mindset, something that affects many of them is this feeling of imposter syndrome. For those of us who pursue singing as a hobby or even in a professional capacity, it might impact them when thinking about their overall career goals and ambitions. And I'd love to ask you about the connection between imposter syndrome and mindset.
Absolutely. Well, imposter syndrome usually shows up when we're experiencing change or a new challenge, and we literally feel like we're an imposter who isn't good enough to be doing what we're doing. It's when we push ourselves to get up on stage for that first time and the self-talk in our head is telling us that we are a fraud and we don't actually deserve to be here. Or it might be when we're pitching our music to record labels and inside we keep telling ourselves that we're probably reaching beyond what we're ready for right now and that we aren't good enough yet for such a major step. It can affect us in so many different ways. And so the problem is that when we experience major changes or take on those new challenges in our lives and we project into the future and in our minds, we create an image of the person we'll need to be in order to accomplish the goal in front of us, but we aren't currently that person yet. That is what can cause us to freak out and doubt ourselves if we don't have the right mindset. Now, our mindset is simply referring to the perspective we have when we look at life, the world, others, and ourselves. Although more specifically, whether we have a constructive mindset that helps us learn how to build our self-love and belief, even when we're experiencing challenges or setbacks, or if we have an unconstructive mindset that perpetuates dysfunctional negative beliefs about ourselves, the mindset we have will be determined by what we choose to focus on within the overall perspective we have and by the thoughts we choose to think about what we're seeing and experiencing. And let me emphasize that our thoughts are very much a choice. And so with that in mind, it's easy to see the impact of our mindset in determining whether or not we might experience feelings of self-doubt when we're experiencing change or a new challenge. Because the reason we have imposter syndrome is that we're focusing on the outcome or the end point of who we'll need to be in order to accomplish our goal. And we're looking back at who we are now, and we are terrified because of how big the gap is between those two places. and we're unconsciously expecting ourselves to somehow already be that future version of ourselves who has the skill set and emotional intelligence required to accomplish the goal in front of us. But we've completely forgotten that the purpose of creating new goals for ourselves is, in fact, to challenge ourselves to learn and grow. A goal is supposed to be something that is beyond our current skills and abilities. It's supposed to push ourselves to develop both in the things that we're able to do, but also emotionally speaking and how we look at things and ourselves. And when we put ourselves in a position of pushing ourselves beyond what we currently know how to do, it's natural to have feelings of fear, overwhelm, and self-doubt. And those feelings are normal. But by better managing those feelings with a more constructive mindset, that is how we stop allowing them to hold us back and destroying our self-belief.
I love that. And that all makes sense, especially for performers, because very often, like you said, we're focused on that end goal. And it's like, how do I get from point A to point B? But it's really, and this is something that I always try to encourage my students to look at, is it's about the journey. It's not about the destination.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
What are some specific strategies that people can use to overcome imposter syndrome and build their confidence?
Well, of course, you just mentioned it's about the journey of getting there. Two things that come to mind for me. The first thing is that we need to refocus our thoughts to be process focused and not outcome focused. So process focused, meaning enjoying the journey along the way and valuing what we're learning as we get there. So a moment ago, I described how with imposter syndrome, we project into the future and visualize who we'll need to be in order to accomplish our goals. And then we have an unconscious expectation that we should already be that person, which is what's causing us to feel insecure and to doubt ourselves. That dynamic is the definition of what it means to be outcome focused, which is the source of a lot of our negative thoughts and our poor self-image. And so the much healthier and more desirable alternative to this, which helps us focus on the journey, is to develop our thoughts to be more process focused instead. This is literally referring to focusing our thoughts on the process of working toward our goals instead of on the outcome. Now, what's happening on the way to our goals during that process? Well, the short answer is good things and bad things. Good things like making progress and having successes. But it's inevitable that we'll also face some hard challenges and setbacks along the way too. But now when those hard things pop up, if we're focused on the outcome of our goals, we might look at those challenges as bad things that represent failure or that mean that we haven't achieved our goal. However, if we focus on the process of working toward our goals, this is precisely what will help us accept that there will be some ups and downs along the way. And with process-focused thinking, we can choose to find value in those challenging things we face by defining them as opportunities to learn and grow. And then, of course, we can apply that learning to help us move forward toward our goals. I'm sure people might be wondering more specifically, though, what does that look like to create process-focused thoughts? Well, in the work that I do, I use my 6 positive reframing tools for this, which are progress, learning, growth, gratitude, acceptance, and patience. Now, by focusing our thoughts on how we can be proud of ourselves through the lenses of those 6 things, this will not only help shift our mindset to be process-focused as a result of that, but it will also help us build our self-belief and confidence even when we're experiencing challenges along the way. So again, those 6 things are progress, learning, growth, gratitude, acceptance, and patience. Now, the second thing that we can do to prevent or overcome imposter syndrome is to build our identity around becoming a person who can trust ourselves to figure out anything. Right? The problem with focusing on the outcome of our goals is that it's overwhelming to imagine who we'll need to become in order to achieve that big thing. And so we focus on the process instead. So when we focus on the process instead, part of that implies that we're learning to trust ourselves to figure out the next step and the next step and the next step after that as we go. We don't need to know all of the answers right now. We just need to trust in ourselves that we'll be creative and resourceful enough to adapt as we go. But again, how can we do that? Well, when it comes to helping us achieve our goals, there are two major characteristics we can use to develop in ourselves that will help us learn that we can trust ourselves. The first characteristic is related to our ability to be resourceful and resilient problem solvers. And the second characteristic is related to our ability to follow through on doing what we say we'll do. For this, that second characteristic, it's helpful if we connect that to developing new habits. I'm not going to dive into depth in that in our conversation today, but for anyone interested in learning about more about habit development, I would highly recommend checking out the book Atomic Habits by James Clear for some help with that. As for the first characteristic, I can tell you firsthand that becoming an incredible problem solver is like having a superpower in life. When I was in my 20s, I had a transformational experience that helped me develop my problem-solving skills. Basically, in my 20s, I was living with my aunt and uncle for a period of time, and I had a really interesting experience hanging out with my uncle. I was having some problems with my computer one day, and my it was shutting down, and I had viruses, and everything was dysfunctional all over the place. And my uncle just, you know, he said, "Hey, why don't you give me your computer for a day, and I'll give it back to you tomorrow, and it's going to be great." And so I gave it to him, gave me the computer back, and it was in perfect working condition. And I said, how did you figure that out? Like, what did you do? Because my uncle's profession is not in IT or anything related to computers. And he said, "Oh, well, you know, I just went on Google and YouTube and I just figured it out. I just tried out lots of different things until I fixed it." And so that was kind of the first incident. The second incident was probably a week or so later. I had borrowed my uncle's car and it broke down. And so he came and met me and he got the car home and he said, "Oh, you know, I don't need to call anybody. I know how to fix this myself." And I said, "Well, how do you know how to fix a car?" Which was also not his profession. And he said, "Well, you know, I opened the owner's manual, literally the car manual in the glove box. And he said, I get my computer out and I type things in." And he said, "You know, when it comes to cars and with many things in life," he said, "there's one piece and it's connected to another piece and connected to another piece. And you just have to follow that trail until you find where the dysfunction is. And then you just figure out how to fix that." And I was so overwhelmed with just this very simple mindset perspective on how to fix things. And so it really blew me away that we could develop a skill set in something that we hadn't been trained in simply by being resourceful. I took this lesson that I learned from my uncle into my own life, and I started challenging myself to fix things. I learned how to fix my computer. I learned how to do like minor construction projects around my home. I would say the biggest one that I had was I had a space heater that was broken and was past the warranty, and it was, you know, going to be more efficient to just buy something new. And instead of buying something new, I thought, okay, I'm going to do what my uncle does, and I'm just going to try and fix this myself. And I got down, I took it all apart, I cleaned it out inside, and I started reattaching things. I got on my computer and I figured it out. And I would say that particularly that story of me fixing my space heater was, it just became this signature story that reminded me to be resourceful and resilient when it came to problem solving. And now when I have things that are broken around my house, I always try to fix them by myself. But more importantly, this story became a metaphor for me in my professional life and my personal life as well of, you know, if there are things that I'm struggling with, if I'm faced with problems in front of me, how can I be more resourceful and resilient and like just give it an extra try, try out different resources, be more creative in thinking about what strategies I can use to try and figure out the problem in front of me. And so if we apply that to experiencing self-doubt or having a sense of imposter syndrome with our goals, let's challenge ourselves to think about how can we be resilient, resourceful problem solvers. So I would really encourage people who are listening to challenge themselves and start out with something that is not necessarily related to being a singer or related to your career. Start out with just little projects around that, something that you might not know how to fix right now, but challenge yourself to figure it out. And you know what, even if you don't exactly figure it out, maybe it's a little bit too complex, even just going through that exercise of doing the work to try to figure something out, it's going to teach you to trust yourself that you are somebody who is committed to trying to figure things out and to learning. And that is an essential thing that we all need to learn in order to trust ourselves.
Self-trust is something that's really underrated. It's something that we kind of need to remind ourselves of, especially for people that are, you know, going into a situation, for example, let's say someone who wants to audition, you know, it's like they've done their preparation, but then when it comes to executing, when it comes to going in and doing the audition, they really have to have that ability to trust themselves and trust the process. And, you know, like focus on what they can control, which is their preparation. And, you know, I think that that's such a great message. You talked about the importance of focusing on the process of working towards our goals in order to prevent imposter syndrome. Could you give us some examples of that?
Absolutely. Let's say we have somebody who has a goal around putting their music out into the world, whether that's creating a YouTube channel or something like that. And maybe they have kind of an initial dysfunctional thought that goes something like, I'm scared to put my music out there and I'm not sure if I'm good enough. So if we start with that as kind of our core thought that we're going to work on reframing, one of the things that's important to start with is sometimes when it comes to our goals, it can be really helpful to see them on a longer timeline. You know, setting deadlines for ourselves is really important to help us move forward with our goals. But we also want to be flexible with that at times because that can help us learn from the experiences that we're having and then apply those learnings to adapt and use new strategies to help us be more successful. So seeing our goals on a longer timeline can be something that can be helpful. It's also really important to kind of approach our goals with a belief that we can develop ourselves and our abilities. This is called having a growth mindset, and this is the foundation of the work that I do, although certainly it comes from the work of Dr. Carol Dweck. She has an incredible book called Mindset. And so from there, we can go into the doing the work of reframing that initial thought that we had. And so as I mentioned before, we can use my 6 positive reframing tools for that. So the first one is progress. So instead of having that thought of, I'm scared to put my music out there and I'm not sure if I'm good enough, we can reframe that, meaning see it through a new perspective where we're focusing on being proud of ourselves through the lens of progress, which might sound something like, I'm scared, but you know, I'm proud of myself for being brave enough to put myself out there. Next, if we look at the lens of learning, then our new thought might sound something like, this is a slow process, but you know, I've been able to connect with others who have similar goals and I've learned so much from them. If we focus on growth, that might sound something like, I've spent so much time procrastinating, putting myself out there. And now that I'm putting my music out, it doesn't really feel as scary anymore. I know that I can keep applying what I'm learning and be persistent with that. If we focus on gratitude, I'm worried about receiving critical feedback, but you know, I may actually receive some constructive comments from people to help me improve, and I'm grateful for that. Acceptance. Being rejected is hard, but you know, even Beyonce was rejected for many years before she became successful, so I know that being resilient and persistent is an important part of this process. And last, patience. Achieving this goal is just one big puzzle that I need to figure out as I go, and I trust myself to do that. So when we talk about using these 6 tools for reframing our thoughts, basically the way that that starts out is kind of really like putting pen to paper, identify a dysfunctional thought that you're having, and then challenge yourself to reframe that by going through the 6 different tools to challenge yourself. How might this sound if I focus on each of these 6 things? Now, once we become familiar with the reframing process, gradually, kind of as you go through your day and you're walking around, when we have a negative thought that pops up, what we can do is we can just reframe that on the spot in our own heads, essentially. Now, you don't have to reframe to all 6 of those things. You can choose 1 or 2 of those things. Sometimes there's kind of an overlap of some of them. Don't worry too much about that. But you can start practicing reframing just as you're on the go in your daily life. Now, kind of the more advanced level of all of this work is that as you do this work over time, what will happen is you'll actually start to notice a lot of your initial thoughts that pop up will show up in the form of the more positive, constructive, reframed thoughts. And a lot of those negative thoughts won't be popping up quite as much. This isn't a perfect kind of progression here, but I just want to give you a sense of kind of what this work looks like over time and how it can change us fundamentally in terms of helping us develop a more constructive mindset.
You know, something that a lot of singers and performers face is rejection. And I always say rejection is redirection. I love how you said that as you practice this, it becomes automatic. So your brain actually starts to change how you think about things. So for example, if you didn't get that audition or you didn't get a call back, you know, it doesn't mean that you're not good. It means that that wasn't the right part for you.
Absolutely. It means that that might not be the right part for you. And it might also mean that we might not be ready yet. And that's an important thing to look at too. And so if the feedback is that we're not ready yet, what does that mean in our daily lives? Well, if we focus on the process of working up to the point where we are ready for that, we can ask ourselves, okay, what new strategies can I use to develop the specific skills that I need to help get myself to that point where I am ready for that opportunity? I do have the skill set. And there are a lot of different factors in there, but I think it's so valuable to really dig into the process of that in order to build our confidence to help us build toward those goals.
By the way, Jen, I gotta say, I love your content. I love the fact that like when I just press play on one of your videos, I like feel like I'm instantly getting therapy.
Thank you.
Just hearing you talk just helps me to rewire my own thoughts. And, you know, one of your videos, you talked about masking our insecurities, which I think a lot of us do, not just performers, but everyone. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Absolutely. The concept of masking our insecurities comes from, I would say, kind of traditional, ineffective advice that a lot of us have heard over the course of our lifetimes about how to deal with our insecurities. Masking an insecurity is when, let's say we have an insecurity about our body. Let's say the insecurity is about our weight. And, you know, either somebody gives us this advice or we just kind of come up with this advice on our own that the way to overcome my insecurity with my body is to lose weight. So we have the insecurity about the weight. The solution is just to lose weight, and therefore we will get rid of that insecurity. This is what we call masking an insecurity, because this doesn't actually get rid of our insecurity. Now, it might temporarily help us overcome those feelings of self-criticism or things like that. But what happens if our weight returns to the state that we were in when we started? Well, probably a lot of those negative thoughts are going to return. So from my perspective, the work that we need to do on actually overcoming our insecurities, it has to do with a lot of mindset work in terms of learning to truly accept and love ourselves as imperfectly as we are right now, as we all are right now, and learn to love ourselves exactly as we are. And then we can do work to, if we want to make changes in our life that are positive and healthy, that's wonderful. But let's learn to do that from a place of loving ourselves, not from a place of bullying ourselves and criticizing ourselves, because that really doesn't lead to anything good. I go into a lot more detail on this in some of my videos. So absolutely, I really hope that some of the listeners will check those out. I also have a lot of other content on topics like perfectionism. Overcoming insecurities and overcoming perfectionism or becoming a recovering perfectionist, These are topics that are highly related to overcoming imposter syndrome. So there's a lot of connection in the different topics that I discuss.
I loved how you just brought up self-bullying. You know, because I work in the field of voice, a lot of us do that with our own voices. We're very critical about what we hear. And I always tell people to kind of like love their voice where it's at today. You got to accept and love your voice where it's at today. And there's Absolutely. Nothing wrong with wanting to improve it or improve your skill, but it has Yes. to come from a place of acceptance first. And I loved how you articulated that, because that can apply to anything in life, not Yeah. just our voice.
Yes, I absolutely agree.
The other day I did a post about like, why am I not improving? And I said, it all comes down to three things, like skill building, just like vocal health, making sure your voice is healthy, and mindset. I brought up mindset because I feel like that is a huge thing for a lot of us. And a lot of times performers like don't really realize how to shift their mindset. Do you have any additional advice for us?
I think that a strategy that is really important for all of us is to seek out mentorship and support. So that can come in a lot of different forms. You can seek out support from somebody who's more of a generalist, somebody like myself who does mindset coaching. And certainly I can support folks from that perspective of developing our mindset. But we also have to remember that there are specialists in our fields who we can seek mentorship from. So for singers, seeking support from a vocal coach like yourself, Alita, or other people in the industry. Actually, one of the more recent videos that I posted on my channel, which some of your listeners might be quite curious about, I have a sister who won a Grammy Award in 2023 here, and I did an interview with her about career advice for young adults. Now, she has a very specialized perspective in terms of what she can offer through mentorship. And I've actually facilitated some workshops at her university for her students. And the type of guidance that I was able to provide, while very valuable, was very different from what she was able to offer. She really got in there with really specific things for other musicians. So I would just say to people, in terms of the progress that you're making, having mentorship is an essential strategy that we can use to help us make progress on the way to our goals. You know, we're all limited by our current knowledge and our current skill set. And having somebody who is more experienced than us to be able to give us that feedback, to give us some coaching, to help us identify new strategies to use to help us move forward with our goals is just a really critical step that we can use to help us be more successful and to feel supported along the way.
I love that because I always tell people it takes a village. You know, and it might not be just one mentor. It might be a few people from different aspects of your life that are going to help you to feel supported and inspired. You know, this has been so great, Jen. I really appreciate all of what you've taught us today. So how can people find you?
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me, first of all, Alita. I would say, folks who are listening, feel free to check out. I've got a bunch of different free resources. For example, my guide on how to love your life no matter what on my website. That's www.jenlinsey.com. It's spelled J-E-N-N-L-I-N-S-I. I would say if anybody wants to reach out, if you want to DM me, if you have any questions, I'm most active on LinkedIn and Instagram at Jen Lindsey. And first and foremost, my YouTube channel is just a resource that I'm putting out into the world to make that type of content accessible to anyone. So I hope you'll check out my YouTube channel as well.
Fantastic. So helpful for not just young adults, but adults as well, and very inspiring topics. Jen, thank you so much.
Thank you.